Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh-Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Thank you. That was Serenade Number 4 by our guest, Apol Johnson. You have done so many different things. And I do think it would be nice for the audience to hear a little bit about some of those challenges and some of those highlights. The highlights are pretty easy. I mean, I was listening to Serenade Number 4, which I know from your bio was recorded by clarinetist Richard Stoltzman, who is internationally renowned, and it is a beautiful piece of music, and he does a beautiful job in it. But I know there's so much more. There's so much, you know, there's so many other things, starting with, you know, what you already told us about, you know, in high school having your production just go on tour. I mean, that's kind of an incredible highlight to start with. But, you know, I'm sure you had some obstacles too. So if you want to share a little bit about obstacles or discouragements, and then, you know, some more highlights, I would love to hear.
Yeah, obstacles are a reason to enlist collaborators.
That's a good way to think of it.
You don't have to know everything. Mm-hmm. You have to know people who know everything.
There you go.
And once they're inspired, we'll talk
about
that.
Wait a minute. I got to say, you're just doing like a series of t-shirts here. So, all of this wisdom needs to go, you know, out there somewhere.
Like I said, we know where our retirement fund is, now, don't we? Okay, well, we're going to start a new business.
That's right. That's right.
We were talking about my writer friend, Brandon Furlow. He actually is a wonderful businessman. So,
there you go. It's right in your pocket, right there. Yeah.
He's in that retail space, so we can.
There you go. It's hard for artists sometimes to think about retail and sales and all that, but it's good to have someone who is artistic and, you know, savvy with that stuff. Yeah, business.
Well, actually, my second wife was that. You know, my career really took off because she said, you know, you're undervaluing your work and there's a lot of potential there. And I have to give her credit where credit is due. You know, she really was good at coordinating the, you know, publicity and
marketing, all that. Yeah, you know, I think marketing. And I think that's an obstacle or a challenge that 95% of the artists I talk to are, you know, whatever their artistic thing is, whether it's music or visual arts, photography, writing, whatever, that is 95% of them are challenged with the business side of being an artist. There is that 5% that can do both, and I admire them. You know, I am not one of them, but I admire them. So,
yeah, I mean, talking about collaboration, she found a gentleman. Actually, he was a retired pro football player, and he had a little digital radio station here in Indianapolis. So we did some music with that, and she became fascinated with it. And they worked together, and they found out how to get us streaming with iTunes digital radio with our old company. And in about 4 years, we had launched a million streams.
Wow, that's
with,
just
not
amazing.
Just my music, right. But the company produced a lot of music by other artists.
Wow.
And that station only broadcast music that was produced by our company.
That's amazing. Wow.
So that's where, again, I never knew how that radio station ran.
Right.
How they did it.
Let alone stream stuff, right? You know.
But I was producing the product that was going on onto that, and so again, the synergy of the ensemble, you know, worked very well with it. But talking about the Stoltzman recording, and I hope your audiences get to hear a little bit of that. That was one of those moments of dreaming coming true, not just for myself but for other artists, because I was sitting. There's a restaurant in downtown Indianapolis called the Rathskeller.
Yes.
And I was down there having a drink. My friend Ed Staubach was conducting the German band down there. And he asked me, I was coming through Indianapolis. This was years ago. I wasn't even living here back then. And I went down to hear him conduct, and we were having a beer afterwards. And he was saying, like you, oh, you know, so many of your dreams have come true. And I said, Ed, what's your dream? Because Ed was a fabulous clarinetist. And he had actually premiered my clarinet concerto with the Indianapolis Philharmonic here. And they recorded. The first time the Philharmonic had ever been released on a commercial recording.
Wow.
Was a piece of mine. And Ed Staubach was the soloist. So Ed said to me, you know, over our suds, he said, well, you know, he says, I'm just such a huge fan of Richard Stoltzman. He said, I'd love to do a concert with him or a recording with him or something like that. And I said, okay, well, you know, I'm going to remember that's your goal, because you've always done my music such good turn and interpret it beautifully. So I was on the phone 10 years later, 10 years past.
10 years later, wow.
I'm talking to, we did some co-producing with MMC Records in Boston with the company. And I was talking to the producer, and we were trying to coordinate some recordings in Europe. And he said, well, I can't get there then. I'm doing a recording of my clarinet concerto with Richard Stoltzman in Warsaw. And little
eyes light up. Yeah, ding, 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 ding.
And I said, well, what's all on that program? And he said, well, we haven't set the full program yet. And I said, what would it take to get one of my pieces on that program? And he said, well, I don't know. I said, I guess, you know, Richard would make the final decision on that. And I said, well, I've got a piece for two clarinets and string orchestra that I think would fit in, you know, the time slot that you want. And he said, well, you know, send me the score and I'll make sure Richard looks at the score. And I said, but it's for two clarinets. It's for two clarinets. And he said, well, you know, Richard, I'm sure would need to hear the second clarinetist. And I said, well, you know, I'll send you a copy when I send the score, a copy of my clarinet concerto. So he said, okay. So anyway, sent all the material down, and Richard listened to it, and he said, oh, you know, I'd love to do something with this clarinetist, and, you know, this is a nice piece, and it's high energy and a lot of fun. And so I called up Ed, and I said, Ed, you remember that conversation at the Rathskeller? I said, do you want to do not only do a concert, but to record the piece with the Warsaw National Philharmonic and Richard Stoltzman? And he said, oh, I guess so.
Yeah, oh my gosh, that's so great.
I wrote the piece in 3 days.
Oh, inspired. You were inspired.
And because I had to make the deadline.
Sure.
With them looking at it and approving it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had to chip in a little production money for the recording.
Well worth it.
And Ed helped, you know, raise some money. And it was well worth it. And so...
Well, it is an absolutely beautiful piece of music. And
when you start to know how to make dreams come true, it's important you make other people's dreams come true.
Yes, too. And it does become the river that runs, you know, flowing gently in the back of your mind, like Gentle on My Mind, that song. I always think of that, things like that, your willingness and your desire to make the dreams of others come true is like that Gentle on My Mind river just constantly flowing back there. It's always there. And it may take 10 years, but, you know, you made that happen. And, you know, and it's a dream for you, too, a dream come true for you, too.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. So
that performance is one of my favorites.
Yeah, I think one of the highlights of any artistic career are those kind of serendipitous happenings. You don't even know how prepared you are for them until they happen. You composed that in 3 days because you were prepared for that internally somehow. And when the moment happened, you were there, you were ready, you composed it, it all came together. And that to me is very, very inspiring. And I think one of the things that come out of these interviews, for me anyway, and I hope for our audience that listens, is that inspiration. I get so inspired talking to all kinds of artists, and I just get overwhelmed by the creativity and the talent that's out there in the world. And man, talking to you is just really, you know, pumping my jets of inspiration, that's for sure. You know, and
now there are roadblocks, you know,
of
you'd
course,
mentioned the,
yeah.
And I think where the roadblocks come in the strongest are because it's a very wide business and all kinds of people are here, not only artists, but, you know, the administrators and boards.
Yep.
And I'm not sure always that those people get involved with the arts for the right reasons.
Right.
And if you're doing something they don't understand, that mysterious side of art, and they're micromanagers or control freaks,
oh, yes.
You are just... anathema. I mean, you know, it's like you might as well have 666 on your forehead.
Right.
You know, it's like you are the devil incarnate because they don't know what you're doing, how you're doing it, or how to control it.
Join us next time as we continue our conversation with composer A. Paul Johnson.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.